Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw. It's time for another Dark Side of the Ring review. So this is the, what is this? The slap heard around the world or something?
Correct.
Dr. D, David Schultz.
Slap, it was actually two slaps.
Yeah. He slapped him once on one ear or a cheek, as far as Dr. D is concerned. Stossel says ear, and then he gets up, slaps him on the other cheek or ear. And then Stossel makes up an injury so that he can get paid is essentially kind of how it's funny. So, this was, to me, by far the most interesting episode I've seen from the perspective of just how messed up the pro wrestling business is and how ridiculous and, I'm sorry, kind of stupid the idea of kayfabe is.
It really is. It kind of perfectly synthesized the perception of wrestling versus the reality of it, because you get the perception of wrestling from dismissive, condescending mainstream outlets represented by John Stossel, who see it as fake and therefore is essentially a scam. That's the term Stossel used to describe pro wrestling, a scam, and therefore give the same manner and level of respect as he would Bernie Madoff or any other scam artist or con man out there. And then over on the pro wrestling side of things, you got Cornette and Dr. D, who thinks the industry needs to be protected, that the idea of kayfabe needs to be strong and true for fear of the business suffering like it did in the 1930s when there was an expose and business was bad for 15 years. if that is the sole reason, like, Cornette wants to maintain kayfabe is for something that happened 90 years ago, that is ridiculous.
What was really interesting to me, because, you know, yeah, he's talking about this secret has to be guarded unless our business. Dude, I'm sorry, but anecdotally speaking, I've asked my dad, who went to the Memorial Auditorium back in the 70s, in 73, 74, 75, with my Uncle Joe. Not my real uncle. We just called him that. He was a kayfabe uncle. with my Uncle Joe, they would go to the wrestling because Uncle Joe really liked it, and my dad would just tag along. And I've asked him several times, did you knew it was fake? He was like, yeah, of course I knew it was fake.
Dude, when I first started wrestling, the first thing my dad told me is like, you know, this is fake, right?
Right.
And they say this in here that Stossel in 2020 did like a survey, and only 33% of the respondents thought it was real.
Two-thirds.
This isn't some great scam, man.
66% of people were still going knowing it was fake. How are you killing the business?
I know.
By not keeping kayfabe? This is ridiculous. This idea that kayfabe is a sacred thing and has to be protected.
And here's the thing.
Asinine.
Here's the thing. Such a strong adherence to kayfabe is what stigmatizes pro wrestling. If you're basing your creative form on a lie, people don't like being lied to.
If you are basing your entire business off a secret, that secret will be exposed. That's a fact.
It is. And they wonder why wrestling isn't respected. by mainstream outlets why it's referred to as fake. It's because you try to lie to them.
Yeah.
If you try to lie to people, they're not going to respect you.
Yeah.
That's why I'm always saying I'm happy kayfabe is gone. I don't want to be in their illusion. What I'm watching is real. Wrestling is like the only entertainment form or art form that I can think of that's based on a lie. Other art form out there that I can think of, at least, puts forth, lets you know this is a self-contained world that we are creating. We're telling stories within the self-contained world.
If Vince McMahon, and to be fair, you're right. There are two asinine approaches that happen in this episode. There's the approach of Vince McMahon, who basically tells Dr. D. You know what I love, too, is that when they open on Dr. D, there's a lot to unpack here. When they open on Dr. D, he says, you can call me a lot of things. You can call me a con man. You can call me a bad guy, but you can't call me fake. This is moments after he called himself Dr. D. I am almost positive the man does not have a PhD or an MD.
No, nor a medical doctor, no. Right,
exactly. No. So it's like, dude, I don't know what your definition of fake is, but calling yourself a doctor is like, when you're not, is like one of the most fake things you could do. It's up there with saying that you had a military career when you didn't. So there's that. But there is, on the other side of things, Stossel's approach to this was the stupidest thing in the world, because if your thing is, I want to expose a lie, if you understand that this is simply entertainment, there is such a more productive way to expose pro wrestling. If you say, listen, Vince, you're going to kill yourself, because if I'm not going to do this expose, somebody else is going to do it in a really, really negative light. So why don't we take a positive approach to it? Why don't you out yourself voluntarily? Because 2/3 of the people don't give a shit. They're there for the entertainment value, not because they think it's real.
But instead, Stossel goes into this like he's exposing like government corruption,
exactly.
Pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
He's on a self-righteous crusade to make sure that 33% of the people who are watching this aren't scammed, as he puts it, because he has such a nose for BS, as he says.
And you know, here's the thing.
BS'd his way into winning a lawsuit.
Yeah, exactly. And does he not understand the hypocrisy there? He says, oh yeah, I carried that. Like, he had no bones about calling out that he was basically lying about his pain, about his issue. And so it's like, it's funny, because when I started watching this, you were like, man, Stossel, because you had seen it before me. You said Stossel comes off like such a turd. And the first 20 minutes or so, it's like, no, he doesn't. He's sort of just, you know, saying how he feels and how he calls it. And he was praising the pro wrestling stuff a little bit. But once you get to the lawsuit, it's like, oh, so you're just a piece of shit. Now you're lying. Okay. Just to get your $280,000. So yeah, he totally comes off like a turd in this. But that's the sad thing, is that a turd tried to bring down pro wrestling, as opposed to, hey, he even admits he enjoyed it as a kid and he knows that it's fake. 2/3 of the people know that it's not real, but they're still enjoying it. And something tells me that out of the 33% of people that said they thought it was fake, there has to be some percentage of those people who are like playing along with the survey. I really kind of don't believe that 1/3 by the 80s, seeing Hulk Hogan wrestle, there's nothing about that that looks real. The interview with that lady, the fan who was there, she's like, oh, yeah, I think it's real.
Oh, she had a huge smile on her face.
She did. So I don't know under what circumstances they were asking these questions.
Let me ask you this. Did John Stossel seem like the type of guy that go up to a kid and completely, unmotivated, tell him that Santa Claus is not real?
Yes. He totally could. Yeah, Santa Claus
because
is
he's
a scam.
He's like, I'm not going to BS these people. Let's go to the mall, wait in line. Those kids wait in line to get the picture taken of Santa and say, he's not real. He's not real. He's not real. Mm-hmm. He just seems like that, you know?
Yeah. No, totally.
But like, you know, if Stossel's attitude as an investigative reporter, because before that he was like a consumer affairs reporter or something like that. If his attitude is going into any story he's going to do, as in, all right, the people who are doing this stuff are either unscrupulous, con men, running scams, so on and so forth. I'm guessing his mindset is like, I got to expose them because they're doing an act of disservice to the community. Therefore, they're unworthy of my respect. Mm-hmm. And if that's his mindset, regardless of his investigation, you know, if you're going to go confront some guy who's bilking seniors at a ton of money, all right.
Yeah.
But if you're going to go into Madison Square Garden and try to confront wrestlers with that same mindset, I'm not going to say Schultz was right for slapping him. There's no reason to resort to violence. But if you're going to go in there and be confrontational without any shred of respect, maybe not for the business itself, but for the fact that these men and women are going out there and yeah, sure, you, Eddie Mansfield might have taught you, showed you a couple bumps in the ring. That's a long stretch from what they go through on a day in, day out basis where they're working 300 days a year and putting their body on the line. You got to walk in there with the minimum of respect for what these men and women are doing. And if you're not going to give them that, you're going to be met with a lot of resistance.
Yeah. And that's the thing about guys like Dr. D, who, by the way, you know, what's, you're absolutely right. There's two things. There's should you be able to walk in, you know, the whole idea of like free speech, should be able to walk into a place and talk shit to a person and not get punched in the face. Yeah, probably. Like legally, you're allowed to do that to an extent, depending on how much shit talk you're doing. I'm pretty sure there's some amount of leeway the law.
Well, I mean, there's the, you know, the idea of free speech is just not to the. You could say what you want, but it's not free speech without consequences. You know, it's the whole idea. Can you go into a movie theater and scream fire and be protected under the First Amendment? Right. No, because there's consequences based on what you did.
Yeah. Now, is it smart to go up to a guy who clearly is not? And he was warned, by the way, by Eddie Mansfield, who, by the way, looks like $1 million in this thing. I'm sorry. Jim Cornette actually came off kind of the worst in this. He had some line, and generally in these things, he comes off as pretty well reasoned, and we know from his Twitter account that he's not. But you know, the man does know his history.
Well, here's the thing: when it comes to Cornette, if you stick to him as an information source, there's value there. If he starts to editorialize, that's when you're getting in trouble.
That's pretty much true. I do my favorite Cornette bit was, though, nothing beats his reaction to New Jack, because he did that throaty laugh of his when New Jack starts stabbing that guy. Yeah. Anyways, it's funny because the two guys in this that were kicked out of pro wrestling still look remarkably good. Like Eddie Mansfield, I don't know where they filmed this. I'm assuming it's at his residence, and he didn't say what he ended up doing after pro wrestling, but that was a giant house.
Yeah, no, and he was walking out of,
And he talks like he's done pretty damn well for himself after wrestling, and it seems like he has, and he still looks great. Dr. D, even, he looks amazing for his age.
Yeah, considering the life he's led during his wrestling career, especially post-wrestling, seems pretty damn hard.
Yeah.
It's amazing he looks to be in as good a shape as what he is.
Well, I guarantee if he had stayed in the wrestling business for as long as a lot of his other contemporaries,
he'd be way worse for wear than he does.
He'd be way worse for wear. But the thing that was most interesting to me in this was Eddie Mansfield's take that historically speaking, and dude, even today, pro wrestling promoters don't take care of the people that make them the money. Back then, he was advocating, or he claims he was advocating for healthcare. He was advocating for 401ks. Vince McMahon was asking Dr. D to sign a piece of paper saying that Vince had nothing to do with Dr. D slapping Stossel. When Dr. D claims that Vince McMahon said, hey, we've got these people coming in, don't let them disrespect the business. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Stay in character for your interview.
Character for your interview, exactly. And of course, obviously, him staying in character is going to be him slapping around the little nerd reporter guy who's disrespecting the industry. So, and that's what's mind-blowing about this, is that you've got these wrestlers who are, like, protecting the guys that are taking advantage of them. It's insane. It's absolutely crazy. The first, when Dr. D talked about Herb Welch, the guy who trained him, what was his training like, Larson?
So apparently this gentleman, Herb Welch, would take a dump, rub the dump in his armpits, and then put people in headlocks.
Yeah.
Squeeze them until they essentially gave up. And so then he proceeded to beat the hell out of them.
That was disgusting. But then even when Dr. D says, yeah, okay, so I said, I looked at pro wrestling. I said, hey, this looks easy enough. I went and went to meet Herb Welch. And Jim Cornette says, yeah, Herb Welch is old school. He'd take you in your barn and just beat the shit out of you.
Yeah.
That's not really training, is it?
No, it's not training. That's taking advantage of someone who's looking to learn a skill, a craft, and just essentially just beating him up probably for the sake of to teach him how to be tough.
Like, Stone Cold has said many times, that he didn't know wrestling was fake until his first match.
That's what Dr. D says. He said after Herb Welch did a bit of training, he says, all right, I think you got some. Here, let me pull you aside and talk to you about the business. It was only after he trained him for a bit and he had some matches in the training facility where he was beating people up that this dude plumb aside is like, you got to pull up a little bit because this isn't real.
What the hell is this all about?
The fact that it's choreographed fighting kind of seems essential to the training aspect.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because part of the training should, you should be able to know how to punch somebody without actually hurting them.
I know.
It kind of seems like, all right, we're going to teach you how to fight. Oh, by the way, we're going to have to pull back a little bit because this isn't real fighting. This is choreographed fighting.
Yeah. Yeah,
Eddie I know Mansfield. It's maddening to hear about that. That, you know, because it aligns with Undertaker said when he was training with Buzz Sawyer, the Buzz would just take him and just stretch him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I guess in the early days they would do that. They would, you know, you hear about Vern Gagne's training methods in AWA where he had to put someone up in like fireman carry position and run upstairs ad nauseum, basically.
I mean, at least with the AWA training stuff, it's like, you know, you put a guy in fireman's carry position and then you run upstairs. It's like it's enhancing your cardio because, I mean, look, wrestling is tough. It's really, really tough.
It is.
And so I get that. But, it's about, like, weeding out the weak. And, I mean, maybe that's what, you know, going into the barnyard and beating the crap out of somebody. If you're tough enough to take a beating in a barnyard, you're tough enough to do some pro wrestling.
No, that seems gratuitous. Or, I mean, and even more so, putting crap in your armpits and then putting
that was
people
disgusting.
In headlocks. That's nasty.
Man, that was, I'll just, that's fucked up.
That's nasty.
That's fucked up.
That's nasty. Let's touch on the Eddie Mansfield stuff a bit in terms of the interview aspect of the show. That's aspect of the whole 2020 piece I was least familiar with. You know, we've all seen the slap countless times. You know, Stossel there, he takes a handful of bumps, it looks like, exposing how these moves are done so as not to hurt anybody, at least significantly. And I guess I had never known that Mansfield actually bladed during the course of his interview.
Yeah, it looks pretty grim. It's pretty grim.
Mansfield's,
my favorite comment from him, though, is simply, why don't you treat us like you do professional athletes? Like that concept that's still to this day, and it blows my mind that, like, right now with the WWE where they're at, they're in this precarious position where the wrestlers really have so much leverage. Because they can simply elect to not show up because this, you know, if they feel like, hey, we're being put at risk here, we need to unionize, we need to be, you know, taken care of. Mm-hmm. And Vince is just playing willy-nilly with this stuff. And to this day, they don't do it. I know that's really easy for me to say on the sidelines. That's totally an easy thing to say because, you know, there are, you know, mouths that need to be fed. I get that. But it is totally true. Like it's a form of entertainment that really, really does. It's unlike anything in how they treat their employees, the people who actually are out there making money for them.
You just look, and one thing that Mansfield talked about is how underpaid the talent was. And Meltzer in the newsletter this week talked about how, you know, the top guys in the territories would be well taken care of. But by and large, everybody else, you know, especially the lower you get down the card, you know, you're not getting paid much. You got to cover your own expenses. Mm-hmm. And you think what Meltzer says that today, only about 8% of WWE's revenue goes towards paying talent. NBA is like half.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Most other major sporting leagues is half.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in WWE, it's.
What was 8%. You might remember this because you're good with numbers and stuff. The last time there was. There was a standoff between the NBA's players union, and what was that over? It was over. There was, I remember there was over revenue split, or that was one of the things.
Because it was going to be. It was. I think the players got the majority of it, and then the league wanted to change it so the players got less than 50%. And I think 50% was the compromise.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I want to say. One of the arrangements, one group got 46%, but like,
oh, okay,
could be
yeah.
off on that.
Like they wouldn't go less than they wouldn't go. The players wouldn't go less than 50%. Like that's crazy. And wrestlers get 8%.
Well, because there's a union, in all the other sporting organizations, there's powerful unions.
Yeah, exactly.
If you look at entertainment, you got unions for motion pictures, TV, radio. You know, like stage actors. All that, you know, it's like literally, I mean, I don't believe there's really a powerful musicians union that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like virtually every other entertainment form has some sort of union component.
Well, I remember there was one story of Oh man, one of the wrestlers was trying to get into SAG. He was like focusing more on his acting. God damn it, who was I forget? But there was some report about a wrestler who was like trying to get his SAG card because there are benefits to that.
Yeah.
So
healthcare. Yeah.
So yeah. I mean, it's I don't know, man. It's shocking that like this is still a thing. This is still a thing in the industry because nobody's willing to step up and do what needs to be done.
I mean, the business model in pro wrestling is so entrenched in the industry itself.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's probably just going to take a good number of high profile people taking a stand and demanding change for anything to happen.
Yeah. One of the things that, I mean, honestly, it's going to take guys like Roman Reigns, who WrestleMania, the last second he said, nope, not going to do it.
Yep.
Got twins on the way or whatever his reason was.
Yep.
Or reasons. One thing that cracked me up, just little things now, I guess. This was the fakest fake wrestler with Hogan.
The guy they got to play,
nothing like him. Like,
yeah,
maybe his body type was a little bit like later Hogan because he had like the big sort of, I guess they call it like steroid.
Yeah, the guy they got to play Hogan, though, was way too cut. Hogan was never cut.
Yeah. Yeah, but like he got way too close. He was way too in focus in one shot, and I was like, "That looks nothing like Hogan." I feel like they got a different fake Vince because
they did.
It didn't look like the other fake Vince looked a lot more like Vince.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought Dr. D. I mean, he's an interesting guy. The Bounty Hunter stuff was really pretty interesting.
Yeah,
all the shots of him shooting various guns was kind of funny. But it looks like, honestly, like he probably doesn't feel this way. He seems to, you know, think he's, I mean, maybe it's more of a pride thing for him getting kicked out of the pro wrestling business, but, you know, he still looks like he's in really, really good condition, you know, and the way he was going, like the way they portrayed him as going in pro wrestling didn't seem like it was headed in that direction.
Yeah.
He looked like a hard lived guy.
Yeah. 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 Well, he probably in his 70s now, you'd think.
Probably. Yeah.
Think
I
so.
Would, I yeah. would think so. Maybe or late yeah. 60s anyways.
Yeah.
He looked old back then, though.
Meltzer mentioned this in the newsletter this week about Schultz's chances, and it was kind of alluded to in Dark Side of the Ring, too, of you know, becoming a much larger star in WWE and, you know, just the direction the company was going, WWE, that is, WWF at the time, be more family-friendly. You know, his whole character...
Mm-hmm.
was definitely rooted in things that were not exactly family friendly.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, those,
yeah.
just those vignettes Vince had him do where he's ordering his wife around and basically threatening his, not real children, but kayfabe kids with physical violence. You know, as WWE got more and more into the rock and wrestling era, that stuff.
Was that what the story behind that? I was hoping they would go back to that gunshot in the promo, and Vince's reaction seemed really legitimate.
Yeah,
when that gunshot went off during the promo, and Vince, like, you idiot, what are you doing?
That he called a stupid idiot, which is funny.
Yeah, that looked legit, and I thought I saw that on Twitter somewhere, where somebody was like, "Yeah, this was he was not supposed to shoot that gun."
Oh, maybe not. Well, when Dr. D says that was like a set, and Vince had all his guns brought in, that wasn't his stuff.
He had them all brought in, and Vince probably just didn't expect the guy to pull a trigger.
Maybe not.
I mean, that's how haphazard that shit is, man. Let's bring in a bunch of guns. Are they loaded? I don't know. Who knows? Don't pull the trigger. That's good. That's safety enough.
Yeah, make sure the safety is on and don't pull the trigger. It shouldn't be a worry. Bang.
Yeah. yeah, that was good stuff. Yeah, the vignettes with the family. I'd never seen that before. That
Unsettling.
Was dark. That was really messed up stuff right there.
Yeah. Next week, it's the Herb Abrams story. I'm not familiar with this at all. I'm not going to do any research in advance.
Yeah.
I want to go in this as cold as possible. So if you're watching this and you're thinking, I'm going to leave a comment to let these guys know what the deal is, don't want to hear it. I appreciate you want to fill us in. I want to go in this knowing as little as possible
because
I want to be blown away by it.
If you are interested, I'll give a plug for a friend. Brian Zane did do, a pretty extensive UWF video. I have not seen that. But yeah, same as you, I'm looking forward to going into this cold because I know very little. I actually started watching one of their pay-per-views last night because Bix and Span, posted a link to it. And so I watched like a little bit of it and what I saw was fascinating. But yeah, I'm going to, I'll leave it at that because I don't know
basically anything about this, yep. and I'm fascinated.
Yeah, I want to keep it that way until I actually get a chance to watch it.
For sure, yeah. Anyways, that's it for our Dark Side of the Ring review. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Till next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.